everybody. I am a little under the weather with my sinuses, so I just ask you to bear with me. We started singing that final song, and my first little note I sang, and I thought, boy, this ain't going to be good. So just bear with me tonight as I get to share what the Lord's laid on my heart. If you want to go ahead and turn tonight, go to the book of John chapter 7. I am thankful. Man, I'm thankful to be able to share God's word tonight. And this is, as you're turning, if you want to kind of think back a couple weeks, Brother BJ preached a message in the book of Psalms about there is a river. Talked about that river. And when he was preaching, this verse come to my mind. It's been on my mind for the past, I think, 2 weeks or whenever he shared it. And it's just led up to this message. And, man, I'm just excited to preach it. It's been a great joy just to be able to study it. And we're going to look at John chapter 7 and look at verse 37, 38, and 39. The title tonight is What Jesus Gives. If you can make it a question, what does Jesus give? And we're going to see here that the Lord's speaking out on the during the Feast of Tabernacles, and we'll read that in just a minute. But I want to take that from the Bible and kind of apply it to our life. What does Jesus give? I say all that to say this. Jesus is a giver. The Bible says he's a giver. I'm thankful he's the giver of life. He is the creator. He's the originator. We looked at this morning through Brother Kevin, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author, that is the beginner and the finisher of our faith. And I want to look at Jesus. And girl, that was a great message this morning, by the way. That blessed my heart so much. Looking to Jesus. And when I left, Jesus got a little bigger to me. And I'm thankful for that. And that's what it was supposed to be. But I want to look tonight in chapter 7. So if you would stand as we reverence the reading of God's word and look at this text. What Jesus gives. We'll read these three verses and then ask the Lord to bless it. The Bible says, John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Let's pray. Father, I'm just so thankful for this night. God, just the joy. Oh, the joy to preach your word, Father. Just thank you for these people. God, thank you for the opportunity we have just to come in freely. God, I pray we'd never take that for granted. We get the freedom to come worship and to come listen to you and learn. I'm just so thankful, Father, and I pray you just let us continue to do that in this country. Be free to share the word. And Lord, I just thank you for this time tonight. I pray as we look for you, we continue as we did this morning looking unto Jesus. Help us to look to you and just gain some knowledge of what you give in our lives. And I'm thankful. And I pray you'd bless it, and I pray you'd cover us under the blood of Jesus. And it'd be all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. We look to Jesus, we see that the Bible says the Lord gives and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to look at what Jesus gives tonight as he's kind of given this declaration during that feast. The Bible says the last day of the feast, that great day, he kind of tells the people what he's going to give them. And I want to apply this to our life tonight and ask the question, what has Jesus given to you? I just want your mind to think on that tonight. What has Jesus given to you? The Bible says in the book of James that the Lord is the perfect gift. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father. It comes from Jesus. He is the giver. And I want us to think on that. And I asked another question. What did Jesus give here in the text? You know, what does he give in our life? But look at John chapter 7. What does he give in our text tonight as we look at these three verses and we'll kind of expound on them. I want to look at a few things tonight. Number one, Jesus, he's giving, number one, he's giving an invitation through this text. If you would, look at verse 37. Jesus gives an invitation. Verse 37, the Bible says, this is Jesus in the last day, that great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Jesus gives an invitation. This is not the only place. If you continue to dig in your Bible, you'll see that Jesus was always an inviter, always welcomed people. And a few examples I thought of when I was looking at this text is when Jesus wanted the people brought the little children to Jesus. The disciples said, "No, we're going to push them off." But Jesus said, "No, let them come. Suffer them not, let them come." Jesus invited them in. I think about some bad people in the Bible that Jesus let come in. He invited them to come close to him. And I think about the unclean people, the people that the world around them said, "Hey, we're going to set you aside. We're going to make you kind of be outside and not be a part of us." Jesus said, "Hey, let them come. I'm going to invite them." I think about maybe we think about another passage about the water. Think about that Samaritan woman. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, but the Jew, Jesus, said, "Hey, I invite you," and he did. I think about kind of examples like that in the text of Jesus inviting people. Jesus gives an invitation in our text. He says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Jesus gives that invitation. I kind of wrote down through that verse different kinds of invitations he gives. And in verse 37, he gives a public invitation. Verse 37, the Bible says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast," here's what it says, "Jesus stood." Now let's just stop and look at that. Jesus stood. He gives a public invitation. Jesus invited and he called these people publicly. He didn't sit down, he didn't hide out. The Bible says in our text, hey, he stood to get the people's attention. This is not the only place I see a trend in the Word of God, and I know you do too, that Jesus publicly called people to follow him. Publicly called people to follow him. Think about those 12 apostles. Think about how he called them out and he called them out. Think about Peter and Andrew walking to him. He says, "Hey, follow me." What did they do? They dropped and they went. Think about James and John, the sons of Zebedee. What happened? Hey, he said, "Hey, follow me." Says the Bible says he dropped their nets and they left their father's business. Their father was in the boat or right next to him, and he did it publicly and he went out. And they said, "Hey, we're going to follow Jesus." And he did that in a public manner. It was never private with Jesus. Think about the tax collector, the man who wrote the book of Matthew. I figure he's up there doing work. Bible says he was there collecting at the office or at the collection. And Jesus walks up that man and he says, "Hey, follow me." Goes out publicly. He calls people out publicly. And I find that a trend there. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, is a scripture we all know. "Therefore, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Jesus gives that invitation publicly. And as I look at our text, I think about that public invitation. But let's continue in our text. He goes on to say here it's a passionate invitation. It's a public, but it's passionate. Let's see what Jesus says here, verse 37. It says, "Jesus stood," we got that, but then he goes on to say, "Jesus stood and cried." He stood, got the public, but then he cried. He was very passionate when he talked. If you do anything on this text, it was during the Feast of Tabernacles. And what they did is they would pour water out. I'm going to give you kind of a very, very big synopsis. I don't know everything, but a very, very light synopsis. Pours out water during that last day, that great day of the feast, as the Bible says. And I can just picture, as from the little research I've done, they said that if you had never seen this happen, you really didn't know what rejoicing was because they were so excited. They were rejoicing when they poured that water out, symbolizing when they were in coming out of Egypt and how the Lord provided for the rock. But anyway, they said, if I can just picture people seeing that water poured out and everybody's rejoicing, and Jesus stands up and then he cries aloud, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." It was not monotone. Jesus was not quiet. He got up. He didn't speak like this. He's just very monotone. No, he got up and yelled. He cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Bible says right there, Jesus stood and cried. That word cried literally means a shout that expresses deep emotion. He says, hey, it comes down and it comes out. Starts down here and it comes way out, that emotion. If any man thirst. It was public. It was a passionate cry. And I wrote this down. I wonder what is so loud in our life that Jesus is having to shout over. They're up there, man, they're having this ceremony and it's getting loud and everybody's rejoicing, everybody's happy, but Jesus has to raise his voice to get everybody's attention. And I wonder what's going on in our life, man. It's loud and man, it may be great things, it may be fun things, but Jesus has to shout to get our attention. And he says, when he shouts and he cries, he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. It's public, it's passionate, but I look down in our verse here, it's a open invitation. The Bible says in verse 37, in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried saying, if any man, let's jump right there, if any man, who's that open to? Everybody. It's an open invitation. Got the public, got the passionate, but it's open. You know what that tells me? Jesus will welcome all. He'll welcome all. Man, so many people got it wrong. They think Jesus is out to get them. Friend, Jesus wants them to come to get them out of that condemnation they're in. That's what he says, if any man. If any man. It's not for just white people. It's not for just black people. It's not for just people that are young. It's not for just people that are old. It's for any man, any woman, anybody that'll come, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. It's public, it's passionate, it's open. I will just continue in verse 37. It's a direct invitation. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. He says, hey, I'm not telling him to go out everywhere else. There's only one way you can get what you can get. Only one way you can get that water. Only one way you can have your thirst quenched, it's you come to me. And friend, we're looking for places. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but Lord, I wonder how many folks are out there just looking for everything else to fill them up. Wonder how many folks are out there looking for that thirst quencher, but they can't find it. So they go somewhere else, and they can't find it. It's a direct invitation. And I wrote this down. Jesus leaves no doubt on who we need to come to if we're thirsty. He says, I am the source. I am the source. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And then he says, he goes on to say, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And that last thing he says, they came, but hey, let him come unto me and drink. Public invitation, passionate invitation, open invitation. It's direct, but it's an action invitation. It's an invitation of action. He says, hey, you've came, you have a need, but when you come, go ahead and take you a drink. And I wonder how many people, man, they got so close to Jesus, but they wouldn't drink of him. They wouldn't drink of his body, or wouldn't drink of his blood and eat of his body. The Bible says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Jesus says, hey, come unto me, but when you get here, do something about it. Do something about it. How many people come to Jesus but they don't drink? We had men's breakfast this morning, and Brother Bradley Hush got to share the word, and he brought up the rich young ruler. Great, great message he preached this morning. Very challenging to my heart. And he brought up the rich young ruler, and he talked about that rich young ruler, how he came to Jesus, bowed to Jesus, but he got so close, but he couldn't, and he wouldn't take a drink. Lord, what do I need to do to have eternal life? He says, why you call me good? He said, just follow the commandments, do the commandments. He said, I've done all that. What do I lack? He knew he lacked something. He lacked a drink. Come unto me. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And there's a verse right there in the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verse 21. And Jesus' response to that rich young ruler, it says in Mark 10, 21, it's up here. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, said unto him, one thing you lack, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. And you know that next verse. We don't have to look at it. He went away sorry. But I love that verse, because it says Jesus, this is the only time it talks about it in the book of Mark. There's different accounts of this. But in Mark, Mark's account says in verse number 21, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And let me give you something. When I studied this and looked at this, man, this struck my heart. Jesus can love you, but that don't mean he can make you drink. Is that not true? Man, hey, he loves the whole world. For God so loved the whole world, he gave his only begotten son. But then he says, whosoever. I wonder how many people think, hey, God loves me and I believe Jesus, but hey, they won't come take a drink. And Jesus, when he's crying that last day of the feast here, he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Me and Caitlin and Holly got to go to a football game Friday. Got to watch the Blue Devils. And one thing you'll see when they're on the, and it's not just Celtics everywhere. But when what you see during the football game is they're out there doing the battle, and you know they're out there playing football, and man, they're tired and they get weak and they get weary. Ref, I can just picture Brother Lee, you know, waving them off. Hey, heat break, you know. Goes out there. They go to the sideline, and what are they looking for? What are they screaming for? Water! Where's the water? Where's the water? And I'm going to tell you, what I noticed Friday night is that water is very important to them players. Never really noticed it till Friday. I didn't play much, so I didn't need water. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is, I got that water, and they started drinking that water. But hey, I noticed Friday, here's what I noticed. There were some folks who played both sides of the ball. Man, they were tired, they were give out. They'd take that drink of water, you know, stick it up there. You know what I'm talking about. I got that big old Gatorade, you know, stick it up there in their mouth. But I noticed some players Friday, they started pouring it down their back. They started, I was telling Holly, one guy, he started pouring on his knee. I looked at her. She said, I guess he's trying to cool his leg off. I don't know. The thing is, man, they take that thing, and when they're doing the battle, guess what happened? They needed a time, and they needed a drink. And I'll just look at that, and I wonder how many Christians need a time, they need a drink. Boy, they just need to stop for a minute and look to Jesus and take a drink. They're tired and they're weary and they've been exhausted. And man, Jesus wants them to stop for a minute, take a breath, and get a drink. And you ain't got to stop with just your mouth. Just get it all over you. That's what Jesus wants. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now look at this text. John chapter 7, Jesus gives that invitation, but there's a reason he does. He gives an invitation because when we continue in our text, he gives that invitation because we continue in verse 38. The reason that invitation comes is because Jesus gives us an eternal or internal promise. If you look at verse 38, the Bible says this, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Verse 39, "But this he spake of his spirit," or "this he spake he of the spirit, when they which believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." You say, what's the importance of the invitation? And this is a great analogy for us as Christians to walk out and to share Jesus. The reason the invitation is given, because there's an internal promise you can gain. It's the Holy Spirit. It's meeting Jesus. And Jesus, when he came on earth and when he walked these 33 years and he had his public ministry for 3 years, what he was preaching is, you need me. But then he says there's a reason. And he says, I can give you an eternal and internal promise. He says in verse 38, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Here's what I wrote down. When you come and drink, Jesus will give you the Holy Spirit. When you come to drink, Jesus gives that Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, the Bible says, it's the promise from the scripture. When he's talking in verse 38, he says, "as the scripture says." So that means it said it before. I'm going to read a couple verses to you. You don't have to turn there. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible says, "Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." Isaiah 44, 3, "For I will pour water unto him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring." Isaiah 55, 1, the Bible says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." You look at that, those scriptures in the book of Isaiah, and you see the invitation, and the reason the invitation is given is because Jesus will give you the Holy Spirit. It's a promise from the scripture. It's a promise of the Spirit. And I'm so thankful that when Jesus, if we continue reading from chapter 7, we look to John chapter 14, he talks about his Spirit, talks about the Comforter. I'm going to give you a few verses. John chapter 14, verse 16 through 18, the Bible says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Ain't that a blessing? "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you," here's it is, "and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." It's a promise from the Scripture. It's a promise of the Spirit. And this promise is only through the Savior. It's only through Jesus can you gain this Spirit. And I love what verse 38 says in our text. "He that believeth in me." The source is me. The source is Jesus. When you believe, then you can receive. And this promise of the Holy Spirit hinges on Jesus. I want to ask you a question tonight and we'll finish. When's the last time you had a drink from Jesus? When's the last time you got a spiritual drink? I know everybody knows what a bottle of Gatorade looks like. On every single bottle that's, you know, factory made or whatever, right under the G, or right under Gatorade, it says thirst quencher. Every one of them. I did the research. Every one of them. Thirst quencher. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing much better than an ice cold Gatorade when you need it. Quenches your thirst, but guess what happens? You get back to work, you need it again. May you get you another drink, and you get back to work, and what happens? You need it again. And the idea is this, that won't satisfy you all the way. I'm talking Jesus. Something spiritual, something that comes from within. Out of his belly shall flow living water, rivers of living water. And that thirst quench leads to the question, are you thirsty? That's what he says here. If any man thirst, that's what he says in that scripture. And here's the question, folks. Here's the question. Are you thirsty? If you're not thirsty, guess what's going to happen? You ain't going to get you a drink. If you're satisfied and you don't need it, you're just going to pass it on by. But here's the question. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for something that'll satisfy you? Are you thirsty for Jesus? And when you come to Him and when you take that drink, the Bible says He gives you the promise. He gives you what you need. And as we look at our text, Jesus has given the invitation. He's given it. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. But here's the question. Will we drink? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this night. Thank you for your blessings. Father, my prayer is if there be anybody in this room that's thirsty. I'm talking thirsty, Father. I'm talking they need you, Lord. They don't need nothing that's physical. They need something spiritual. They need that river of living water. Father, my prayer is that we would just get to you tonight. For something going on in life that we cannot do without you, my prayer is that we'd get thirsty. And Father, I just pray you'd have your will and your way. I pray you'd bless us, Lord, but I pray most of all you'd help us get to where you're at. And I love you and thank you, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen.